بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in the morning we have been discussing the noble character and the sublime conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion, a person came to Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, and asked her to tell us about the character, the conduct, the characteristics of your husband, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us understand that this was not just Ummul Mu'mineen being questioned about the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but here is a wife being asked about the character, the conduct, the characteristics and behavior of her husband. Ask ourselves, if my wife has to be questioned about my characteristics, my conduct, my akhlaq, what answer will she give? That perhaps this is the Fir'aun of the time. And unfortunately, most of the time she'll be speaking the truth. But Aisha radiallahu anha is asked to tell us about the akhlaq, the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She replies, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His akhlaq, his conduct and character was an embodiment of the Qur'an. And thereafter she recited the opening verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun, which we heard tonight, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 6 or 7 qualities of those believers who will attain success and the reward that they will be given. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, that these are those individuals who will be made to inherit the gardens of paradise, Jannatul Firdaus. The first sifat, the first quality that Allah speaks about, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Generally, if you are asked to describe a person, then each person has many different characteristics, qualities. But that quality, that characteristic which stands out in his life, you'll mention that first. The first quality, Allah says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who, when it comes to their salah, then they are humble and devoted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They take special care to perform their salah on time and perform their salah in such a way that it is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Secondly, Allah says, those who turn away, they shun all vain and futile speech. Something that does not concern them, that is of no benefit to them in this world, or as far as the deen is concerned, then they don't get involved in this. مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that part of the beauty of a person's Islam and Iman is that he abandons, he leaves, he shuns those things which do not concern him, do not benefit him. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. The third quality, Allah says, those who discharge their zakat. In other words, when it comes to their monetary responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon them, then they are not so attached to their wealth that they have, that they don't pay their zakat, rather they discharge their zakat on time. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And those who guard and protect their chastity, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Except when it comes to their spouses or their slave girls, they fulfill their desires in the correct avenue. So they protect their desires and their chastity. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. The fifth quality, Allah says, those who give special consideration to fulfill their amanat, those things that they are entrusted with, either physically, somebody leaves something of value as an amanat by you, so you ensure that you take care of it, you look after it and return it to him. Or when it comes to things that are intangible, a person tells you some secret, some mashwara of his, something that he has not divulged to anybody else. This is also amanat, something that he has left in trust by you. So they take special care and consideration to fulfill the amanat. They don't divulge the secret to others. وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And they take special care to fulfill their promises and pledges. In other words, for these people, they understand that when I give my word, then this is something that is binding upon me. If I promise somebody something, I have to fulfill and go through with the promise. And the last quality, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Allah began with salah, Allah ends with salah. Those who make muhafaza, they protect and guard their salah. In other words, they take special care that my salah must not become qadha. I must not miss a single salah in its correct time. So these are the believers who will attain success, falah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Mufassirin have explained a beautiful point that when it comes to falah, although we translate it in English as success, but the correct meaning of falah refers to when a person is in such a state that all of his desires, whatever he wishes, whatever he wants, are fulfilled. And no harm, no evil, nothing that is disliked affects him or afflicts him. And this is a quality we find that a person will only reach the state when he is in the gardens of Jannah. Allah says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. That when a person reaches Jannah, then he will have whatever his heart desires. And we can imagine that if a blank check is given to each and every person, that have whatever your heart desires, then while there may be some people who will desire good things, khair, things that will bring about goodness, we may also find those people who will desire evil things, things that will bring about damage, destruction. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give the Jannatis a blank check. That all of you desire whatever you want, to your heart's content, and you will be given whatever you desire. From this we can understand Allah has trust upon these people. That they have refined themselves to such an extent that I can trust them with their desires. They will only desire that which is khair, that which there is goodness in. And these are these qualities that will give a person falah and success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we bring these qualities into our life. Further, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then discusses the incident of the ifk, the slander of Sayyiduna Aisha radiallahu anha. It is an incident that is well known. We all have heard this incident many times. This is in Surah An-Nur. However, the incident, the lessons that we take from this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three verses. And from these verses, we can understand what should a mu'min's reaction be when he hears something evil, something bad about a fellow believer. The entire incident we've heard many times, Aisha radiallahu anha is left behind on the return, for the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning from an expedition, and she goes to relieve herself, the caravan leaves without her. Eventually a sahabi, Safwan bin Mu'attal, he comes along, he sees her, so he asks her to mount on his camel. He stands next to the camel, takes hold of the reins, and he transports her, and once again reunites her with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Sahaba reach Medina Munawwara, some munafiqun and hypocrites begin to spread the rumor that perhaps Aisha radiallahu anha and Safwan bin Mu'attal planned this entire meeting and that they have committed the act of zina with one another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that this particular rumor, the slander, although it was started by the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, it found its way to those innocent and sincere Sahaba as well. They also heard this and they began believing it as well. So the first point Allah says, your reaction, what your response should have been, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. Allah says, the moment this news reached your ears, you should have immediately thought good of your fellow Muslim brother and sister. You should not have harbored that ill feeling or the thought that they are guilty of this. Rather, your first thought should have been that as long as it is not verified, it is not confirmed, then perhaps they did not do this. Perhaps it's a lie, perhaps it's a slander, it's a rumor, and there is no truth behind it. Nevertheless, this particular rumor continued to be spread, and now it reached a point where it was the talk of the town. Everybody was speaking about it. So the second verse, Allah then says, لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ. Now that this has become widespread, it's on the tongues of everybody, why did they not bring witnesses, eyewitnesses, to prove that this incident happened? And we find the beauty, the justice of Shariat, is that when somebody makes a claim against somebody else that you have committed a sin, the act of zina, then as long as there is no confession from the guilty party or there are no eyewitnesses, then it is treated as though it did not happen. This is to protect the honor, the integrity of the mu'min. So Allah says, why did you not verify? Why did you not bring eyewitnesses? Then you would have had some basis upon which to base this claim of yours and this belief of yours. Nevertheless, this also was not a deterrent. This incident continued to be spread to this extent that even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard of it, and he was also concerned and worried. Of course, he did not accuse Aisha radiallahu anha, but he also waited for some wahi, some revelation to come, that perhaps there is some truth behind this. The third verse is then revealed, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. Allah is addressing Sahaba that even though this rumor has reached such proportions that it has reached the ears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also has decided to remain aloof from Aisha radiallahu anha. And it seems as though this may be true. Even if it is verified, even if it is true, why was your response not مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا? That this is something that does not have anything to do with us. It's not appropriate for us to speak about it and for us to spread it. So even if something is true, something is verified, some evil deed of somebody is exposed, then too the mu'min, the believer, is commanded that you should not spread this, you should not speak about it. Rather, as we mentioned in the beginning, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. Something that does not concern you, something that does not affect your deen or dunya, then the best is for you to remain silent. As-sukutu aslam. To remain silent will protect a person. A person doesn't get involved in slandering others. And then Allah mentions that those who have this habit of spreading immodest news and immodest information amongst the believers, and they like to divulge the faults and the flaws of others, then Allah says, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Then let them know that for them will be a painful punishment, not just in the akhirat, but fi dunya, in the world as well. You have attacked the integrity, the honor of a Muslim. Perhaps that person will not recover from it. The lies that you spread about them, the slander that you propagated regarding them, the entire izzat and honor is gone in this world. Allah says, in this world also, lahum adabun alim. Those who are guilty of spreading these rumors, of spreading this slander, then for them will be a painful punishment in this world as well, and in the akhirat as well. Wallahu ya'lam. Allah knows. Wa antum la ta'lamun. You don't have knowledge. Your knowledge is deficient, is limited. Therefore, the best is for you to remain silent. One more verse and we'll terminate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a very important aspect of our social life, and that is the aspect of haya, of modesty. And we find that the shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and pristine in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just govern our acts of ibadat, our acts of worship, but rather every single aspect and facet of our life is governed by the deen of Allah. When it comes to society, when it comes to a community, when it comes to believers flourishing amongst one another and interacting with one another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a set of laws and rules. And one of the most destructive or dangerous sins which will break up the entire society and community is that of zina, fornication. When a person fulfills his desires in the wrong place, it will cause marriages to break, it will cause children to be without parents, it will cause a whole host of problems in society. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the safest thing is to create an environment where a person's desires are not aroused. Not just the act of zina itself, but those things that lead to the act of zina should also be avoided. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. And therefore, the first step or the first advice that is given, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Allah says, say to the believing men that they should lower their gazes. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. This will assist them to protect and safeguard their chastity. And unlike the style of Quran, in other verses where Allah addresses the males and the females are automatically included, أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ, آتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, the male gender is being addressed, females are understood to be included. But in this particular injunction and command, Allah addresses the males separately, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And thereafter, Allah addresses the females in a separate verse, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. Say to the believing females as well, that they should lower their gazes and they should protect their chastity. This is to show us the importance of lowering our gaze, of not looking with a lustful gaze at the opposite gender. As we have mentioned, this will cause destruction in society. When a person does, when there's no parda, there's no hijab, when there is free intermingling between males and females, then we find a whole host of evils and problems. We find immodesty becomes rife. Many other diseases creep into society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising us in this verse that if a person wishes to protect his chastity, a person wishes to protect his haya and modesty, then the first step is to protect the gaze, not to look at that which is haram, and this will become a means of protecting a person's chastity. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.